Good morning, 810 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's great to have you on this Monday morning. Joining us by phone, we have Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, welcome back, sir.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing? Did you have a good weekend?
I did. We had the Sheriff's Rodeo, and it went very well. We had a few thousand people attend, and it went really smooth, and we earned some money for the Star Foundation for Sheriff's Office.
How long did you ride that bull?
Yeah, I watched a lot of people ride a bull. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I see Chip in the cowboy hat. I don't think I've ever seen you in the cowboy hat when you're in your uniform. I mean, I think people would pay good money to sponsor, you know, Sheriff riding the bronc, you know?
Well, I think since Chip wears a cowboy hat, he should ride a bull. I agree with that statement 100%.
fair enough. We'll leave all that right where it is. Let's see. We had several really horrid stories. One, you had this case of James Phillips Jr. is alleged to have, God, I hate talking about these stories, molested a couple of girls under the age of 12 while babysitting them. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, and unfortunately that occurs, you know, more often than not. And it's just a point of we try to catch them, put them in jail so they never get out, because you can't fix people like this. If you're attracted to children, in my book, there's no fixing it. You either just have to keep them off the streets forever, or, you know, there's really no way to keep the kids safe other than that.
Do we know in this case, and I know sometimes the reporting prohibitions keep you from saying things, especially about minors, but, you know, I tend to want to believe that usually these cases involve non-relatives, but I mean, I know they do involve relatives. You know, do we know in this case, was there a relationship? Not, can you say?
Yeah, I can't really say. It's still, you know, an active case. And just because it's on two counts now, you know, we always look and try to find more victims if they're out there. Because usually when we arrest somebody for something like this, it's not their first attempt or their first, you know, perpetration of an act. It's usually they go two or three times, they come emboldened, and then we catch them. So usually there's more victims out there.
And this is also a case, I think WAR has been reporting that there's actually video. And I'm so horrified by these acts. Yeah. But then I'm horrified by the trauma to these kids. And then I'm horrified that because there's video, yes, that means an easier conviction. But it means somebody had to watch the video. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we have guys, we have three detectives. That's all they do is download phones and computers and go over, you know, the video evidence to put these dirtbags in jail. And, you know, it's traumatizing, especially if you have kids and you have to look at crap like that people do to children. And it just, it's a horrible job. I couldn't do it because I'd want to beat somebody, you know, after watching a video of somebody doing something to a child. I just want to take them out back and take care of business. But,
understand.
They do a job they do a job for us, and it's pretty much a thankless job a lot of times, but they do it well, and we put a lot of people in jail.
You know, one of the we don't talk about it a lot, but we have a culture media-wise that really encourages kind of vigilante thinking. You know, I'm going to punish them. I'm going to take it out. I'm going to do it. There's very little respect for the legal process, even in cop shows, unfortunately. A lot of that is, you know, very vigilante oriented. I just think one of the hardest things is, as a cop, is to sit back, do your job, trust the system, because the system often lets you down. I think the restraint by police officers, especially in cases involving kids and women, is just, I'm amazed that we have this level of restraint, because it's just a challenging thing.
It is. And we're fortunate here in Florida. You know, we're not like California or Colorado or Illinois, Minnesota. I mean, they just let them right back out. Here in Florida, we have a pretty good track record of keeping them in jail and then in prison once they get sentenced for longer periods. And hopefully it, you know, stays that way. But I don't know how the cops in California and New York and all those places, I don't know how they do their job.
Yeah, I know that's sometimes why they come here, right? We have this unbelievable story out of Navarre where a woman basically leaves a crumpled up piece of paper as a note that an employee finds, and that leads to her being rescued as a kidnapping victim hostage. Is that right?
Yeah, it is. And this guy, boy, oh boy, he deserves to go to prison and not get out. So basically, yeah, what happens is this lady leaves a note. The person that finds the note calls us. We get out there, and our patrol guys did an awesome job. They did a search warrant, had it signed by a judge, and then they, of course, went in and saved her. But he's been charged with kidnapping and a litany of other charges. I guess he held her there, wouldn't let her leave, wouldn't let her have access to the phone, abused her. It was a horrific story.
Was this, whenever this, I don't know that it matters, but I always seem inclined to want to know whether they had an actual relationship at one time that went completely wrong, or whether she was a stranger like that Cleveland House of Horrors from years ago. You know, like, which yeah. end of the spectrum was this, or do we know?
Yeah, from what I was told, that they were in a relationship at one point in time. And then I don't know the specifics of how they broke up, or she wanted to get away from him. Obviously, he's not, wrapped too tight. And next thing you know, he abducts her and then holds her in the house. And this is where we're at. So hopefully he will get convicted. It's all a couple of first-degree felonies in there. So hopefully that he will get sent to prison and not get out.
And I don't, you know me, I really prefer not to engage in a lot of these details. But yeah. Sometimes it's just worth mentioning. One note on this story was that after many, months and months of isolation, like involving her with broken bones, like it's really, really an awful incident, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's horrific. And, you see people like this, and a lot of people say, well, when you go in a store, why don't you scream for help and everything? These people that get abducted and get tortured, basically, they have the mindset of a victim mindset that they can't get out of. It's not their fault. They just feel like, hey, if I yell or if I, run, or he's going to kill me, because that's what they tell them over and over and over. You leave, you try to get help. Yeah, I see you with the phone, I'll kill you. And their mind just gets into that mindset of I'm doomed. I'm stuck for the rest of my life. Luckily, she was smart enough to leave a note. And like I said, it was found, and the rest is history.
I cannot imagine what was going through her brain taking that risk. I mean, it's just, it's amazing. Can I also, I just want to, you tell me if I'm wrong about this, okay? The kind of person that winds up in a cult is the person who thinks they could never wind up in a cult. The kind of person that winds up in an abusive relationship is the kind of person that thinks, well, that would never happen to me. They hear a story like this and they think, well, that's for those kind of people. I'm not that kind of a person. I would never let that happen. That, feeling of invincibility and vulnerability is part of what makes you at risk, just like walking down the street and I'd never get attacked. Well, guess what, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of that mentality of it will never happen to me. But you'd be surprised at the caliber of people who become victims.
Yeah,
I mean, it's scary. Anybody can be abducted. Anybody. I don't care who you are or what you do for a living. If the person, has that element of surprise during the attack, and you're not expecting it, anything can happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's a horrifying thing to think about. It's why we prepare and think about these things all the time. I mean, why we have this conversation. And there's phone numbers, why there's help out there. There's all kinds of things available for people if they find themselves in trouble. Last thing I wanted to ask you about, this is a follow-up on a story that you and I talked about, a couple months ago. You had a deputy that wound up in an encounter with a teenager who was not responsive to his commands, and neighbors got upset, and they didn't, and I guess he got handcuffed in the end, but there were no charges pressed. And you now have a deputy that's been put on suspension. Deputy McPherson's been put on suspension for 3 days. Tell us what happened here and, why that was the end result.
Yeah, and I want to start off by saying this, our sheriff's office is spearheading some of the best laws in the state of Florida in regards to the special needs community. We got the SAFE Act passed, and we pride ourselves on, our ability to deal with special needs individuals. Having said that, this was handled incorrectly. Once we watched the body cam footage, the deputy overreacted, and Deputy McPherson had never had discipline before, if I remember correctly. So the maximum we could do to him, basically, under our guidelines, was a 3-day suspension, which is what he got. But having said that, once this got out, he's been getting death threats over the internet, and also people trying to find out where his kids go to school, giving his kids death threats. Just some really horrific stuff is coming out, and 99.9% of it is not coming from the state of Florida.
That's what I was going to say. Is it coming from outside, right? Probably.
Yeah. California, New York, Illinois, all those special places. And, you know, they're trying to find out where his kids go to school. I mean, seriously. They've threatened his grandparents, his parents. It's unbelievable what people will stoop to. Now, did he handle the situation wrong? 100%. Did he get punished for it? 100%. We don't condone acts like that. We don't put up with it. And, you know, we dealt with it. But for some people, you know, these are the same people who dial 911 and expect us to come save them, but they hate law enforcement. Anytime any law enforcement officer does anything, if it's minor, major, whatever, this is what they do. They sit at home in the basement and get on that keyboard and threaten everybody's lives, and it's pretty pathetic.
And the short version of this story, just to make sure that we get the kind of the facts, or people might be wondering what happened. You know, he was in the middle of the road when the deputy arrived, and then several times the deputy ordered him to come near, and he went inside the house and wouldn't come out. And it turns out, A, had headphones on, couldn't hear. B, is autistic, so, you know, has, interactional challenges. And all of that came out eventually, but wasn't obvious to the deputy at first. But he should have done differently. Nevertheless, he definitely should have behaved differently.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, all our deputies have safe packs in their cars to deal with autistic suspects or autistic individuals. Headphones, spinners, charts that they can point to certain things on if they're nonverbal. I mean, we take this stuff very seriously. And, you know, he acted inappropriately. He 100% said, yeah, I did wrong. And we punished him. But like I said, for some people, that's not good enough. But, you know, we'll deal with that.
Oh, I got a couple of notes in here just to kind of amplify what you were saying. Apparently, these same internet trolls have been attacking, commenting, like, against Milton, against MPD, against Santa Rosa County, the separate
entity.
I mean, like, everybody. That is amazing. Chair, and I assume, and I just want to give you a chance to say this, the community, I assume that like any time when something is done wrong, that becomes a training opportunity for future cops, right?
Yeah, without a doubt. And that's one of the great things about body cam video. You know, you can watch it, you can slow it down, you can say, what would you do? Stop it and ask a deputy, what would you do right here?
Right. Absolutely.
You know, so we can fix a lot of problems with body cam footage. And that's what we do. That's how we train. And, you know, I have 420 deputies, and are they going to do, you know, stuff wrong sometimes? Well, absolutely. They're human beings, but we take it seriously. And when they do, they get punished and we move on.
Very good. Sheriff Bob Johnson, Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson, sir, thanks as always for the time. Great news on the rodeo that paid off so well. And I will look forward to you and Bronc and Chip Simmons in the ring together. Who can hold on to the Bronco longest is I will definitely pay for attendance to that event. Sheriff, thanks
for that.
We'll talk to you again next week.
Andrew.
What's that now?
I said, wait for that one, Andrew.
See, you should say I should get out there with you, and I will definitely never do that. Sheriff, thanks so much for the time. I appreciate it.
All righty, we'll see you.